This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam. Better put these on. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nas'alullah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings are indeed on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May the peace and mercy of Allah be upon all of you. And we ask Allah, as always, to accept from us our efforts, to forgive us, to blot out our sins. We ask Him for useful, beneficial knowledge and understanding that which will lead us to doing good deeds which are acceptable to Him and for His pleasure, as we depend utterly on Him. And to Him is our return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. So we carry on from where we left off with hadith number 18. Just to remind you of the hadith, which is, as Imam Nawawi mentions it, ruya, as is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئه الحسنه تمحوها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. Be mindful and awe and fear of Allah wherever you may be, and follow up a bad deed with a good one, and it will wipe it out, and behave good and well towards people. This hadith is weak, but as we said last time, the ideas in it are correct, and we have plenty of evidences from Quran and Hadith for each of the three elements in that. Last time, although we mentioned bits of all of it from what Imam Nawawi mentioned, and Imam Tufi especially, and Ibn Rajab in their expositions, we completed what I wanted to say really about the first element of taqwa, and we're more focused on the second element of a follow-up, a bad deed with a good one, it'll wipe it out. We don't need this hadith for that, okay? So the idea is there. We don't say this is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I mentioned this last time already, in Surah Hud, and the context of it, the Asbab al-Wurud, as it's known as for hadith, the situation of this hadith being narrated is also mentioned in, and the situation of actually asbab al-nuzul, the situation of revelation of this particular ayah from Surah Hud, ayah number 114, is mentioned in authentic hadith about the man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam claiming he was destroyed because he did met this woman and flirted with her, etc., and did everything with her, kissed, cuddled, everything except the final thing, and came to the Prophet ﷺ asking what he should do. And the Prophet ﷺ waited till this ayah was revealed, in which is this idea of good deeds wipe out bad ones, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلُفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. So establish salah at both ends of the day and something from the night. And I explained that last time in the last session. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a general statement, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Surely good deeds, hasanat, wipe away the bad deeds. Now, first the order was to establish salah. Now, I said last time that can be just our five daily prayers. As we had the other hadith I mentioned last time, where somebody had done something more serious than that and said, give me the hand punishment, which means zina. And he was in the mosque and he prayed behind the Prophet salah, which I said was the fard salah. And he asked again after the salah. The Prophet said, why? Have you not prayed behind me now? Yeah, you've done your salah. So Allah, and asked for forgiveness. Allah's forgiven you. And he went away. So clearly, even it can be the obligatory prayers, but it can be extra prayers as well. Yeah. Add to that when you've done sin. That's all part of hasanat. But the word hasanat, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyat, yeah, is a more general meaning, because hasanat isn't limited to just salah, is it? Hasanat has a wider meaning. So here is going from the specific of salah to a wider meaning, a more general meaning. And this statement is very important. Surely hasanat, all good deeds wipe away bad deeds. And that's amazing. Yeah, that's the beauty of it's not saying just salah. Yeah, ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. This is a reminder for those who are reminded, for those who remember, yeah, those who are mindful. So, of course, remember that in the hadith, when this is revealed, one of the companions, and some reports mention it was Umar, says, is this for him only, Ya Rasulullah? And if you remember, last time I said the Prophet said, no, this is for anybody in the similar situation of sinning. So the idea of is there in the Quran itself. Therefore, this is in al hasna yuzhibna sayyi'at. This from the Quran. Forget the hadith, this concept from the Quran we need to understand, because it's a very general concept. What does it actually mean? What we're talking about here, of course, is sins being wiped out or forgiven. Sins being wiped out or forgiven. And the idea of sins being wiped out or forgiven from the Quran and Sunnah is that we as believers believe that when we do, for example, tawbah or salah, yeah, and we make dua to Allah for istighfar, then we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and wipes away the sins. Yeah. That's what we believe. Not the number of times, but sincerely. And this is a very important concept, an idea from Quran and Hadith that we need to understand. So what is hasanat? Hasanat, as I said, is a wide meaning. Included in hasanat is dua. Tawbah, to do tawbah to Allah, is it from the hasanat? Is it from good things to do? Of course it is. Making dua to Allah, asking forgiveness from Allah, is it hasanat? Yes, it is. Yeah, that's part and parcel of it. Yeah, that's part and part, a very important part of it. Especially when it comes to the major sins, doing tawbah and istighfar. But it's not to say that for minor sins, we don't need to do tawbah and istighfar. There's this debate among scholars from the past about do small sins need tawbah or not, and it was just for the sake of argument, Mu'tazila came with the idea that it doesn't, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because the attitude of a believer is, their example is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we don't look at and say, well, I've only done small sins, I don't need to do Tawbah. Can you, a believer doesn't think like that. And we have the classic example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from authentic hadith, doing istighfar, yeah, asking Allah for forgiveness more than 70, and other hadith mentioned more than 100 times a day. Beyond that, him standing in the prayer in the night until his feet would swell up, and Ummul Mu'mineen in one hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that, has Allah not, meaning why this Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, has Allah not forgiven your past and present and future sins? Yeah, which is what is established for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's how he's known and described, even in the on the day of resurrection, one whose past and future sins have been forgiven. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is true. Then he said, should I not then be a grateful servant, still doing the hasanah, still asking for forgiveness, still doing istighfar? And that's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how can we, there's no need for this debate of we don't need to do tawbah for small sins. Yeah, no need to go into that with that attitude. But certainly there's certainly a stress upon major sins requiring tawbah and istighfar, much more so. Yeah, and perhaps the idea, and that's why ulama discussed it, the idea comes across that small sins, by just doing as doing good deeds, even making wudu and salah and fasting, they disappear anyway. They disappear almost automatically. Yeah, and that's the idea of the hadith. Adhan, wal jum'at ila al jum'ah mukaffirat lima baynahun idha ijtunibat al kaba'ir kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, the five daily prayers. Yeah, Jummah to Jummah, Ramadan to Ramadan, yeah, are all ways of blotting out of sins that are in between them, in between the five salahs, in between Jummahs, in between Ramadan to Ramadan, are ways of blotting out of the sin. Mukaffirat lima bayna, if the big sins are avoided. That comment at the end gives an indication of an automaticness in the continuation of fasting every Ramadan, Jummah to Jummah, and your five daily prayers. But it is not, doesn't mean that there's nothing else from those five daily prayers and Jummahs and fasting aside from the wiping out of those small sins. That would be a misunderstanding. Yeah. And some people got bogged down with this idea, oh, that's just the sins, the small sin being wiped out. What about the rest of the stuff? Actually, salah and fasting, etc., have much greater reward than that. Much greater reward than that. So there's a wiping out, and then there's, because in your salah and after your salah and in Ramadan, and especially on Laylatul Qadr, and Jummah is a special day for fasting, you do tawbah and istighfar. Can that wipe away the major sins? Would that be contradicting the hadith when it says if the big sins are avoided? No, it would not be contradicting it. So you can have the big sins also being wiped away from the salahs and Jum'ah and Ramadan. And not only that, then ulama discussed the idea of if it's just being used, all this ibadah from the hasanat of wiping away sins, we won't have anything else. But that's not true, because there is more to these salahs and fasts but increasing in daraja, as we'll see, increasing in status and giving us good rewards. As some scholars said, actually, in the end, big or small sins, they will be weighed up on the day of judgment. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies hasanat from 10 to 700 times or more each hasana, whereas the sin is 1 degree. So because of the mercy and multiplying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of that, if the sins are so great, yeah, even so, that if the sins are a moderate nature, then the good and hasanat, not just for ibadat, other good works that you do, yeah, hopefully will wipe away the sins, and therefore still there'll be some left of the good deeds to make the scales heavy on the right side. Yeah, that's what we hope for. So we, as long as we're not like the muflis in the hadith, the bankrupt one, the hadith I mentioned many times before, yeah, where the bad deeds. And here, notice in the hadith of the bankrupt one, the problem isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give forgiveness and mercy, and mercy is vast, as we mentioned before, and Ibn Rajab and Nawawi mentioned it as well, that wiping away of sins from Allah is much easier. The problem is the rights of others. And if they haven't forgiven you in this world, they will be the one in the hadith of the bankrupt one who are causing bankruptcy, aren't they? Because that's a queue of people who the person has wronged, and they're asking for their right on the day of judgment, whether it's financial or behavioral. And there is no other way. They can't be given money, because the person with their deeds hasn't got any money to give on the day of judgment. It'll only be done through exchange of deeds, either taking of bad good deeds from the person who they're taking their right from, or throwing their bad deeds at that person if they run out of good deeds. Isn't that right? Yeah. So the danger in the hereafter of becoming bankrupt is from people's rights are much more serious in Islam. Yeah. We're not saying Allah's rights are not serious, because in that is Allah's right, because Allah's told you to look after the rights of people. That's not to say that you can neglect your prayers and fasting, etc., and just look after people. I said that last time as well. Yeah, because you've no chance then, basically, because they Allah sent those things to you as an obligation so that you they will help you in fulfilling the rights of the ibad of people. So the idea of sins being wiped away from good, yeah, included in it is the ibadat, for sure, as the verse mentioned. It said waqimis salah, so that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the famous hadith said to the companions and said, imagine if you had a river outside or a stream outside your home and you were to bathe in it 5 times a day, would there be any dirt left on you? What did they say? Of course not, ya Rasulullah. He said, such are the 5 daily salahs. Yeah. Such are the 5 daily salahs. They wipe away. Yeah. فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. Such are the 5 daily salahs. Allah wipes away with them the sins. Yeah. And then we have, even in the case of wudu, the Prophet ﷺ saying in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, مَنْ تَوَدَّعْ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُدُوْ خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَظْفَارِهِ. Whoever makes wudu and makes the wudu well, yeah, meaning properly, yeah, not leaving half the arm dry and carelessly and not washing it properly, not washing the feet properly, but makes it, because it's ibadah. Does it properly? Then his or her sins will leave their body, even to the extent that the sins will leave from under the very nails. That means the toenails and the fingernails. That's an expression to show you how the water falling off in wudu is removing sins by just doing the washing, subhanAllah. And that's why in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ala adullukum ala ma yamhu Allahu bihi al-khataya? Shall I not inform you of what will wipe away the sins?" And that's what we're talking about, yeah? By good. What is the good here? Notice here the Prophet ﷺ said, what will wipe away sins, but he said something else. He said, وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ. And this thing that I'm going to tell you is also going to increase his or her status, meaning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا بَلَى. They said, the companions, of course, O Messenger of Allah, قَالُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوْ عَلَى الْمَكَارِ, to make wudu properly, even at difficult times, when it's cold or you're finding it difficult to do, yeah? وَكَسْرَةُ الْخُطَى, and the multiple steps to the masjid, إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ, to a mosque. That means you're going to the mosque. In today's terms, it doesn't have to be literally that you take steps. If you go in the car, it doesn't mean it doesn't count. Yeah, you still take the steps to the car and drive. Yeah, of course, the more the burden of walking, the more reward. Doesn't mean to say you burden yourself and you say, well, from now on, I'm going to walk to the mosque 3 miles away. Yeah. And ulama discussed this idea as well. The idea is to go to the nearest mosque for you as well, in a general sense, not put yourself through difficulty. What into that? And the Prophet has some carry on. So making wudu properly, even when it's difficult, and taking the steps to the mosques and waiting for the salah, even after a salah. فَذَٰلِكُمُ الرِّبَاتِ. And that is like people who are defending on the borders, meaning that is going to wipe away your sins and raise your degree and status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so notice here that both is there, not just that just going to the mosque and sitting there waiting. That doesn't even include, notice that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't include the salah. It just mentioned wudu and waiting for prayer and going to the masjid. So salah is on top of that as well. Yeah? Salah is not even included in there. It's waiting for the salah, in between salah. So those are the things building up to salah, which will wipe away the sins and raise you a degree, raise you up degrees before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a beautiful hadith that I want to mention, yes, in this regard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's in this hadith is in Tirmidhi, and it is also in Tirmidhi, and very couple of versions of it, which is authentic. And here, from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came for the morning prayer. Yeah, very late one day. Yeah, that's what Mu'adh ibn Jabal is saying. He said, Jabal is saying, until we could just about see the sun coming up. That's how late the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He was at home. فَخَرَجَ سَرِيْءًا فَصُوِّبَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَصَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He came out quickly, and then stood and led the salah. Yeah. فَصَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَتَجَوَّزَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلَمَّا سَلَّمَ دَعَا بِصَوْتِهِ قَالَ لَنَا. So he made the prayer a bit shorter than usual. Tajawwaza. Yeah. This is his front prayer that he's leading the Sahaba in. Then he turned towards us and said, after the salam, he called Da'a bisawti, he called with his voice to us, called to us and saying, Ala masaifikum kama antum, stay in your rows as you are. Then he turned to us and he said, Ama inni sahadithukum, I'm going to now inform you and tell you what kept me away from you this morning, meaning why was I late. He said, Inni kuntu min al-layl fatawaddatu, I got up in the night and made wudu. This is for his night prayer. Wasallaytu ma quddira li fa na'astu, I prayed whatever Allah had written down for me to pray for my tahajjud. And then I dozed, was drowsy in my salah, by the way, in my salah. Hatta istasqaltu, and then it became very heavy, meaning he fell into a heavy sleep. Fell into a sleep. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِرَبِّي تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَى فِي أَحْسَنِ السُّورَةٍ فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ, and then my Lord came to me in the most beautiful appearances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What that vision, and remember this is a vision, this is all ilmul ghaib. So no need to go into detail, what did he look like? Nobody asked him what did he look like either from the companions. Qultu labbaik ya Rab. He said, oh Muhammad, my Lord said to me. I said, here I am, my Lord. Qala fima yakhtasim al-mala'u al-a'la. Allah said, what are the highest angels on high discussing about? What are they discussing? The angels are upon high, busy discussing. I said, I don't know. So Prophet ﷺ said that he was asked this three times from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each time he replied that. Then he said, Allah put his hand between my shoulders until I felt the coldness of his fingertips. And then in the front between, on my breast, in my chest, in between my breast. And then he made everything known to me. فَتَجَلَّ لِي كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَعَرَفْتُ فَقَالَ, and I then knew, meaning what Allah was asking him about, meaning Allah made it possible and the knowledge came to the Prophet ﷺ in this vision. Then Allah said, Ya Muhammad, again he said, and I said, here I am, my Lord, at your service. And he said again, what are the angels upon high busy discussing about? I said, fil kaffarat, they are discussing about the atonements, what atones sin, kaffarat. I'll come back to that in a short while. Qal ma hunna, Allah said, what are they? I said, mashyul aqdam ilal jama'at, it is the walking to the jama'a prayer, meaning to the mosque. Wal julus fil masajid, and sitting in the mosques. Ba'da salawat, after the salah, meaning waiting for the next salah. Wa isbagul wudu, similar to the other hadith, and making wudu properly. Fil makruhat, even when it's difficult. Qal, so this was the answer. This answer, is about atoning and wiping away sins. The same meaning is given in the other hadith, which I mentioned to you before. And then he said, Allah said, what else? Qult, it'amu ta'am. Feeding food, meaning to the miskeen and the poor. Wa leenul kalam, and being kind and gentle in speech. Wa salatu bil-layl wa nasu niyam, and praying in the night when people are asleep. That's what the Prophet was actually doing, wasn't he? Okay. So notice here, other things that wipe away the sins and increase the level. What are they? Feeding people, yeah? Giving in sadaqah, in other words, speaking kindly towards people and in a good manner, and praying tahajjud in the night. Yeah. Qala sal, he said, ask me. Allah said to me, ask me, make dua to me, whatever. So I said, and this is a beautiful dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'l khayrat. Oh Allah, I ask of you doing all that is khayr, of all that is good. Wa tarkal munkarat. I ask you, to give me, in other words, the ability to leave all that which is detested and disliked. Wahubbul masakin, and the love for the poor. Wa antaghfira li wa tarhamani, and that you forgive me and have mercy on me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Wa iza aratta fitnata qawmin fatawaffani ghayra maftoon. And if you, O Allah, intend to test and try a people, then take me, Ya Allah, in other words, give me death without that trial and tribulation. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking. As'aluka hubbaka, I ask you of your love, Ya Allah. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk, and the love of those who love you, Ya Allah. Wa hubba amalin yuqarrabu ila hubbik, and the love of deeds, which bring you closer, which bring me closer to your love. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after that, surely it is the truth. Learn it and teach it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we are doing today, alhamdulillah, Allah made us of those who are still, from those who are learning it and teaching it to others, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. That's just such a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his humility and wonderful character when he's been told to ask. He didn't ask for palaces, didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for this and that. Look what he's asking for, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, now, much of the point of that was to show you about hasanat. How they not only remove sin, but increase the degrees and give you reward on top of that. And also to show you that salah, salah is not even mentioned. It's mentioned in the other hadith, which shows you salah gives extra and more on top as well. So hasanat, as I said, includes tawbah and istighfar. Includes tawbah and istighfar. But it is not limited to that. When we talk about tawbah and istighfar, this is such an important, of course, fundamental quality and character of Anbiya and Rusul and all of Salihin and Mu'mineen and Muslimin. Crucial quality. To the extent that, as it mentioned in a Sahih Hadith in Muslim, which many of you will know, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him, Allah's taking, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taking oath, by him in whose hands is my soul, in whose hand is my soul, لَوْ لَمْ تُزْنِبُ, if you were all not to commit sin, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, if you were all to become of those who do not commit sin, Allah will get rid of you all. Sweep you, wipe you all away. لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ, and for surely he will then bring a people, human beings who sin and who ask forgiveness from Allah, yeah, so that Allah will forgive them. What's the meaning of that? Of course, the meaning of that hadith isn't an encouragement for you to go on sinning. Part of the meaning of this hadith is the limitlessness of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second part, the meaning of it, that Allah loves his slaves, his creatures, to ask forgiveness from him because he loves to forgive. Yeah. The third meaning of it is not don't go around doing lots of sin, but do never think yourself as a person, a believer, a human being who has not done sin or will never do sin. Never think like that. Because what will that produce? Haughtiness and pride. And a proud person who thinks they are not doing any sins day and night, will they do tawbah and istighfar? Not likely. And look. Look at the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah. Or deluding yourself that you are not a sinner. Then it is a delusion from shaitan. It is a delusion from shaitan because actually you are sinning and you need to ask Allah for forgiveness, who forgives all sins. So that's why I said it's such a central concept for Anbiya and Rasul and their followers to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And on the other side of it, the fourth element in that hadith that I've just thought about is there's hope in it, isn't there? There is hope for the sinner who is thinking, I have done so much sin. How can I turn up now to Allah and ask him for forgiveness? And I've asked him again and again and again. Yeah. And I feel so ashamed. And I've lived years of sinning. And now there's no chance for me. There's no chance for me. This is from Shaitan. And for that, we should remember the hadith of the person who killed 99 then killed 100. Yeah. You all know that hadith. I don't need to go into it. And if you don't, I'll mention it at the end if you want to ask me. But that's why, and that is in that hadith as well. Yeah. The hope is in that hadith of Allah's forgiveness. So never give up, which is in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Isn't it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, my slaves who have committed excesses against themselves, committed sins against themselves, because sin is actually wronging ourselves, even if we're doing wrong to others, or actually damaging ourselves, because the sins are piling up against me. So look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it. Those who committed excesses and sin against themselves, do not despair in the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives all sins. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Surely He is the most merciful. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. So they don't have despair, because the statement there, surely Allah forgives all sins. However, how do we tally that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ افْتَرَى فقد افترى إثما عظيما. Surely Allah does not forgive that one, that someone associates anything or anyone with him, but he forgives all aside, yeah, from that, for whomever he wills. And whoever does shirk with Allah, associate partners with Allah, then they have indeed invented a great, great sin and lie. Yeah. How do we tell it that with Allah forgives all sins? And how do we tell it that with the third verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Furqan, Al-Furqan, chapter 25. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ about Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of the merciful. What is some of their quality? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Those, they do not call, yeah, to other, on other gods besides Allah, with Allah. And they do not kill a person that Allah has forbidden the killing of, except in justice, which means through the court, the court systems. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and do not commit sexual adultery. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ, whoever does that, any of these, yeah, will face, meet punishment of it. يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. Yet punishment for that person will be multiplied and increased on the day of resurrection, and he will dwell in that punishment forever and ever. Yeah, despised. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sins he's mentioned. Remember the sins: shirk, killing, and adultery. Then Allah says, illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan fa'ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except the one who does tawbah and believes and does good works, righteous deeds, for such people, Allah changes their bad deeds into good deeds. For Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. So I hope you listen to those three different selections about tawbah and forgiveness. The first one saying Allah forgives all sins. Second one saying Allah doesn't forgive shirk. Yeah, forgives anything else besides that for whomever he wills. And the third one mentioning those major sins and then saying, except the one who does tawbah, Allah will change their bad deeds into good deeds. How do we understand and marry them all together? Anybody? Because at first sight, it might look like a discrepancy and a contradiction. Any offers? No, we're all very quiet today. Nobody's going to say anything.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry to mention, so it seems like, this is Suhail, asking for forgiveness, doing a tawbah, and then maintaining and doing good amal later on. To me, it seems like Allah will, inshallah, forgive and replace those sins with good deeds.
So when Allah SWT says He forgives all sins, in the first verse, and then we find a verse that says He doesn't forgive shirk. How do we match up and marry that? Well, it's there in the قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Notice when He says, do not despair in the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives all sins. What did He say at the end? إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely He is the of forgiving, the merciful. Of forgiving means you're asking for forgiveness. Yes? And He doesn't forgive shirk. La yaghfiru an yushraka bih. That's talking about forgiveness in the hereafter. That verse. When Allah says, surely Allah will not forgive that association or shirk is done with Him. And He forgives anything aside from that for whom He wills. That means that the shirk was done for it. It also means other sins that somebody's done in the earth, Allah may forgive them in the hereafter, even without tawbah. Isn't that right?
Just thinking about it.
Can Allah forgive? That's the context of that verse. Many people don't understand. The context of this verse in Allah, He says, لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ, because otherwise the rule of Allah Himself is if you ask forgiveness while you're still in this dunya, Allah will forgive for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So then He won't need to say for whomever He wills. He's saying it for whomever He wills in the hereafter, even for the one who didn't do tawbah. Even for the one who didn't do tawbah. And I think that's why the idea in one of the authentic hadith on the day of judgment, that somebody who's committed a sin, a believer who's committed sin, a serious sin from the kabair, that they kept it hidden from all everybody else, except whoever they did it with, or otherwise they were on their own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover them on the day of judgment and ask them privately, did you do this? And the hadith says, they'll say, yes, ya Allah, I did. And Allah says, I've kept it covered for you and I've forgiven you. That's happening in the hereafter. But if you ask forgiveness and done tawbah in this world, that's not going to happen, because Allah's already promised if you sincerely do tawbah. Look in the verse, last verse I mentioned, it mentioned somebody doing shirk, somebody doing qatl, killing, somebody doing zina. And then Allah says, illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan. And I'll come to that verse, but it's talking about doing tawbah. Allah SWT are changing their bad deeds into good ones. Changing their bad deeds into good ones. So I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, there's another ayah I want to mention about doing sincere tawbah, which has a slightly different meaning. So you see here the idea, tawbah in the world leads to wiping away of sins. That's why the idea is clear when Allah says Allah forgives all sins. And many ahadith bring this out. One of the hadith is going to come in at the towards the end of the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi, where it mentions about, son of Adam, were your sins to reach into the heavens as far as the clouds, or be as nearly as great as the earth, and you turn to me sincerely asking forgiveness of me, what does Allah say? What's His answer? He's already given the answer. Surely I will forgive you. My forgiveness will be as great as that. So that's Allah's promise already. Everybody clear with me?
Yeah.
This is very important to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that. And some people mention a hadith which is reported as a hadith, which from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but it is not authentic, it is da'if, that at-ta'ib min adh-dhanb kaman la dhanbala, that the one who does tawbah from their sin is like the one who has no sin. This is not an authentic hadith, but is the idea and meaning correct?
Yeah.
Well, I've given you all the evidences, and there's lots more aside from that weak hadith, which we don't need, which is giving you that idea very clearly. Allah wipes away the sin. There are other hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, many of them, about a slave doing a sin, coming to Allah, saying, Ya Allah, I have sinned. Yeah, and Allah says, yeah, my servant has come to me, yeah, knowing that he can turn to no one else, recognizing me as the Lord, that I can only I can forgive, so I have forgiven him. Yeah. Then the servant goes away, after some time comes again, and then it mentions three or four times the reported hadith. So the servant keeps coming back saying the same thing, and Allah responds the same way each time, even though, yeah, and at the end Allah says, I have forgiven him. Yeah, then Allah says in that hadith could see what he can do, whatever he wants from now, I have forgiven him. Subhanallah. That's not, of course, the misunderstand meaning of that would be a person for us to believe that we can carry on, do as much sin as possible as we want, and he's forgiven. No. The idea is that his tawbah, like the hadith about sins nearly as great as the earth, or up to the, his tawbah never stopped turning back to Allah sincerely. But of course, try and reform yourself and stop yourself from sinning. Not you make it a plan to play tricks and games with God, then you're definitely heading for hellfire. Because you can't play tricks with Allah, because your insincerity is there then, isn't it? If I'm doing it with this twisted mind, oh, look, Allah said, do whatever you want. Yeah, you are forgiven, right? That's a green card. I'm going to do as much sin as possible. And then I'll just say, oh, Allah, forgive me. He'll forgive me. That's not sincerity, is it? You understand, everybody?
Yeah.
That's not sincerity. So there are, as I said, there's many hadith about sins being so great and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving. Even the one about Allah coming down every night in the last third of the night. Yeah? Third of the night. One of the things he's calling out, what does he say?
Is anybody there asking for forgiveness? So I'm there.
What's his answer?
So that I can forgive.
And surely, for certainly, I will forgive them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma yushrikun. Is everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so now, so what does, in this verse, what does it mean, nevertheless, after mentioning shirk, zina, adultery, and killing, yeah, and the punishment that they will face, multiplied the punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yuda'af lahul azab. Azab, the punishment will be multiplied for that person on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Wa yakhlud fihi muhana, and he or she will dwell in that punishment forever and ever, disgraced. Then says Allah, illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا. Except the one who does tawbah. But here, notice Allah SWT didn't just say except the one who does tawbah. There's a very important word there after that. What does he say? illa man taba
amala amal salih.
And before that, illa man taba wa amana.
Yeah.
People miss that. Why do I mention that? Why is that a key there? And that will help us understand what changing bad deeds into good deeds mean. I was just thinking about this today, you know. I've been thinking about this verse for a long time, and ulama had various understandings, but I was just reflecting on it today, and I was thinking that's the key there. The fact that Allah says, except the one who does tawbah and believes and does righteous deeds, means that the person who did the killing and the shirk and the adultery was what before this? Believer or disbeliever? Believer or disbeliever?
Believer.
Before this, disbeliever.
Disbeliever, yeah.
The thing, shirk.
Okay.
So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning not, Allah didn't just say, illa man taba wa amila amalan salihan, except the one who does tawbah and does now righteous deeds. Allah says, except the one who does tawbah and now believes and does righteous deeds. Yeah? For such a person, Allah will change their bad deeds into good deeds. Wa kana Allahu ghafur rahima. So that, the best way to understand ulama, one of the opinions of the ulama who did the tafsir of this is that before they were disbelievers, yeah, all their deeds were sayyi'ah, they were sin, yeah, because they didn't believe in Allah. Now, to believe in Allah in itself is a tawbah, they turn back to Allah, yeah, when you believe. The fact that they became believers, as believers now, doing tawbah and doing good deeds, their bad deeds that they used to do, now they're doing good deeds instead. So Allah changed the deeds they used to do, which were all bad, into good deeds, means after iman, yeah, they are now doing good deeds. So they're doing hasanat instead, which is what's going to happen when you become a believer. Yeah, they get counted. And that's a similar idea which is brought out in the famous hadith, which I mentioned many times to you before, of Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As, who embraced Islam after Hudaybiyah, the father of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the scholarly Sahabi who narrated many hadith. But his father, Amr ibn Abbas, Amr ibn al-As, when he was on his deathbed, he was crying, and he remembered what the Prophet ﷺ said when he came to give his bayah of belief and to believe in the Prophet ﷺ. But before he gave the bayah and iman on the hand of the Prophet, he said, give me your hand, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ took out his hand, and Amr ibn al-As, remember, pulled his hand back. So the Prophet ﷺ said, what's the matter with you, Amr? You told me to give you a hand, and why are you doing this? He said, I want condition. I want condition before I do the Shahada. What condition was he asking for?
Forgiveness. To be forgiven your previous sins.
Yeah, because he fought against the Prophet ﷺ. In the same hadith, he says that I went through different phases in my life, and one of the phases in my life that the messenger was the most hated person in his life. And he said, if I died in that state, I would have headed straight for hell. And he's saying, after that, when he came to embrace Islam, after that, till his death, the messenger was the most loved person in his life. Yeah, he couldn't. He said, "I couldn't look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after I'd done the Shahada because of just my humility, his radiance, and his magnificent character." And he felt shy in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because of what he'd done before. So he and then the Prophet said, "What conditions?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, so that I can be forgiven." So then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the famous statement. He said, "Do you not know, O Amr, Inna Islam yahdimu ma qabla, wa inna al-hijrata tahdimu ma qablaha, wa inna al-hajj yahdimu ma qabla." But he added things. He said, "Do you not know, Amr, that surely Islam," meaning now coming to believe, "wipes away all that which has gone before, destroys all that's gone before of the sin. And surely hijrah," and he'd done hijrah as well now as well, because he's come from Mecca to Medina. Look at the good news. Yeah, "and surely hijrah," migrating. And that has a meaning of demigration of the Sahaba, hijrah. Also hijrah means, remember, to migrate from sinning to doing good deeds. Like the one who killed 100 people also was doing hijrah. Understand? So it has that meaning as well. Doing hijrah, yeah, wipes away all that of the bad deeds from before. And surely hajj, doing hajj, wipes away all that which has gone before. On this basis, and on what Quran has said anyway about the tawbah, and the other hadith I mentioned about doing tawbah and maghfirah and embracing Islam, this idea in the verses about embracing Islam, which is brought out in this hadith as well, for Amr ibn al-As, all the previous deeds, bad deeds, have been wiped away. Yeah, all the, and many people mention at-tawbatu tajibbu ma qablaha, as though it's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's actually not an authentic hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Again, it is very famous. At-tawbatu tajibbu ma qablaha, that tawbah wipes away what went before. No, you don't need it as a hadith because it's not authentic, but we have it from Quran and Sunnah already, including the hadith of Amr ibn al-As. That's what it's based on, that sins are wiped away what have gone before with tawbah. Here, this hadith is similar to what the ayah is saying here. So his bad deeds have been left behind. Now what he's doing of good deeds, and therefore his bad deeds replaced by good deeds. Some said that is the case in the hereafter, which applies to a particular hadith of the last person who's taken out of hellfire and put into paradise. But it's one person where all his bad deeds, because obviously he was there last in hellfire, yeah, not last to remain in hellfire, the last person to be taken out of hellfire, and the last person to go into paradise, this hadith mentions. Yeah, Allah forgives all, changes all of his bad deeds into good deeds at that juncture when he transfers him. But those who are going to stay in hellfire forever and ever, they're still there. So we don't need to go there because this ayah is wider than that. It's general application, not just for that one person. So it really, this meaning of bad deeds changed into good deeds, is the idea of somebody embracing Islam, doing tawbah, and then the bad they used to do, and they start doing good instead. Now, it's already 8:15. Let me finish with this. Still on tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another part of the Quran, in Surah 66, verse 8. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم where am I? Sorry, I've lost myself. ويدخلكم The Jannatin Tajri Min Tahtiha Al-Anhaar. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala here in this part of the verse, he says, O you who believe, do tawbah, turn to Allah in sincere tawbah. Yeah. Asa Rabbukum. Perhaps your Lord, and you kaffir ankum sayyatikum, will wipe away from you your sins. Wa yudkhilakum, and enter you into gardens underneath which rivers flow. Yep. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is for believers, of course. There's no iman mentioned here. This is about anybody doing sincere tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Allah saying here that when he says perhaps here, this is interesting. Asa rabbukum. Yeah, and in another part of the Quran, Allah says, Asallahu an ya'fuwa anhum. Yeah, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا غَفُورًا, that perhaps Allah will pardon them, for sure, for Allah is pardoning and all forgiving, clement and all forgiving, full of clemency. When asa perhaps is applied to human beings, or la'alla, yeah, it is as it is translated, perhaps. Yeah, for example, if you take the ayah of fasting in Ramadan, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says kutiba alaykum ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba lilladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Yeah, all you who believe, fasting has been written, prescribed for you as it was for those before you. La'allakum tattaqun, that perhaps you may get taqwa. Yeah, perhaps you may not. That's why it's perhaps, depending on what you put into it. But when la'alla and asa is used with Allah, it is not to be understood like that. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the turjaman of Quran, the translator and explainer of the Quran from the Sahaba, he said in an authentic report reported by Ibn Jarir in his tafsir of Tabari of the Quran, he said, Asa min Allah wajiba, that when Allah says asa, it is confirmed and absolute. Allah will it means Allah will surely. So when Allah says, or you who believe, do tawbah, yeah, sincere tawbah, yeah, it's not perhaps your Lord will, yeah, blot out your sins from you. For surely your Lord will blot out and wipe your sins from you. Subhanallah. Yeah, very important to understand that. Very important to understand, because you may not find it in the translation. Yeah, the perhaps is from our side, not from Allah's promise. Allah will, if we are sincere, wipe away the sins. And it kafara, which was mentioned in the hadith as well before, and kafara, or you kafira ankum, atonement is called, which means covering or wiping away of the sins. Scholars had some discussion about, because some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويكفر عن ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم. Yeah, ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا, as it mentioned in the Quran. Our Lord, yeah, forgive us our sins and blot away our sins. So some scholars discussed and said there are slightly different things. The reality is forgiveness from ghafara, as we'll come to, and kaffara, blotting out of sins, are the same thing. They're very similar in meaning. Only thing, when they come together in a verse in one place, then perhaps you can say forgiveness of dhunub is of forgiveness of major sins, and blotting out and kafara is of the smaller sins, sayyi'at. But if they come on their own, they can cover both, if you understand what I'm saying. If they come alone, they can cover both. Because kafara and the same root word is used for kuffar. But if I say the word kuffar, it has the usual meaning that came after the Quran and Sunnah that nearly all Muslims understand. If I said to you kuffar, you think I'm talking about disbelievers. And you would be right, but not always. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word kuffar in the Quran in one place to refer to, I won't say farmers, because farmers can be herding cattle and sheep, but crop growers, those who sow the seed, the seed sowers, because they put the seed and they cover it with soil. They are also known in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hadid, أعجب الكفار نباته. Yeah, the growth that comes from the rain, from the ground, is pleasing to the eyes of the sowers of the seed. Here, kuffar doesn't mean disbelievers. So what's the root? Kafara. Kafara means to cover up. That's why it's used for the farmer. Yeah, to cover up. And it's used for kafara of the sins, yeah, that Allah kafara sayyi'at, a sayyi'at, because he covers the sins and wipes them off. And it's used for disbelievers because a disbeliever in reality is the one who receives a message, understood and knows it's the truth, but they cover it up to try and ignore the truth and reject it. Reject it. Yeah? So that's why they're also known from the same word, kufr, yeah, because they're covering up. And linked with that, kufr and rejection is ingratitude. Because kuffar are also those people of disbelievers, despite knowing the bounties and creation, everything God's given them, they're covering up, yeah, that all those bounties, neglecting them and not thanking Allah. But the greatest of ingratitude is to disbelieve and reject God after all the an'am and ni'mah he's given you, isn't it? That's why in the Quran also, when shukr is used and its opposite is used, Allah uses kufr. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَاشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Yeah, so remember me and I will remember you, and be grateful to me, and do not be takfuruni, do not be ungrateful to me. Do not be ungrateful. And the ungrateful people are disbelievers. So it has a double meaning there. But it's meaning there, and it's used other places as well, the meaning of ingratitude, which, see, all those are linked. But interestingly, Ghafara also is like a covering, because in Arabic, Migfar, which comes from kafara, is a helmet you put on your head to cover your head. For example, in battle, they call them Migfar or Migfar. Yeah? So Ghafara and Kafara is similar meaning in that sense of forgiveness or clearing the sins. And Allah knows best. We will end there today. I thought we'd finish today, but we haven't. But certainly a big section of it we have, inshallah. What I'm going to hopefully do next time, inshallah, is look at the third aspect of good character, but also I'm going to mention what Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, summarized as, based on what we've been talking about today, the things that will wipe away sins for us. 10 things that will wipe away sins for us. And Zarabozo mentions those in a summary in his exposition of this hadith at the end. Yeah, so I will go into, I'll go into those, inshallah, and that will be the next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه الغفور الرحيم. Any questions? I hope I didn't lose you or make it complicated and confusing.
JazakAllah, Sheikh, a quick one. So shall I take from this that from Surah Furqan ayah that those who are believers now and has committed killing, for example, and then asking for forgiveness, and then this does not apply to them?
No, this ayah, no, you go to the other ayahs. Allah forgives all sins. Yeah, because another part of the Quran, Allah says a believer who intentionally kills a believer, they will go, they will be put into the fire forever and ever. Does that mean there's no forgiveness for them? You don't need this ayah for that, but you've got other ayats for that person. Yeah?
Yeah.
But this ayah is talking about those who come to believe from disbelief. The one in Surah Al-Furqan that you're asking about.
Yeah.
Because in fact, the ayah after that will cover them as well. Because after that, Allah says, mentions Tawbah again. But notice no iman there. He says, وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. Yeah?
Yeah.
That, the, whoever does a tawbah and does righteous deed, then they have turned to Allah, meaning Allah has accepted their return and tawbah.
Okay? That's a generalized kind of idea.
That comes, that generalized it more for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. SubhanAllah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Alaikum, Brother Munir. Can you hear me okay?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. You're loud and clear today.
MashaAllah. Sorry, it's all my fault. It's sometimes my technology lets me down.
No problem.
I just want to ask you about a very interesting subject about forgiveness and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is supreme. But something that's occurred to me was is that when one of us, and it could be me or it could be a person I know or one of us from our community, has been wronged by another person, is it better? I mean, certainly in my instance, say, if I feel that I've been wronged by somebody else, and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously all forgiving, all merciful, is it better for me to forgive that person who has wronged me now in this life while Allah has given me life, rather than waiting for the day of Qiyamah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment to be made when I, if it had happened to me, subhanAllah, that I feel that injustice was done and waiting for recompense on the day of Qiyamah? JazakAllah.
Good question. I'll tell you in a minute why it's a good question. Over the years involved in Islamic work and in the communities for many years, I came across people who, when they were wronged, even by their brothers in Islam or sisters, practicing people.